can't. We haven't got Sam. We can't start. Let me know when we're ready. No, it's 7:35 and I've tried. Ready? Okay. All right, thank you very much. Welcome back, Kevin. It's 7:35. We've had a little break. Thank you to those watching along at home for their patience. And could we have a bit of quiet, please, as we've reconvened? We have got quite a lot to get through on the agenda. We are now on page 76. I'm going to make sure, we'll just double check that the CEO's recommenced the recording. So we're page 76 with a recommendation on page 77, and it's the Multicultural Action Plan. I'm looking for a mover in a second. I've got a mover in Councillor Antoli and a seconder in Councillor Midgley. Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Mayor. It's a pleasure to move this item on our agenda. The purpose of this item is to consider public feedback on what is our draft Multicultural Action Plan. That I, along with yourself, Mayor, and Councillor Dean, have had the pleasure to serve alongside members of the community. And I'd like to thank again Julie Olderfox, our Community Development Officer, for the great work that she's put into this, as with all our community action plans and our community involvement. And we're grateful. There wasn't really a lot of response. We've had just a few items, and I think I was thinking that through, and I think it's partly to do with the fact that the community stakeholders that we engaged were so thorough, there wasn't probably a lot to be said. And that's a real compliment to our staff for bringing together those names and also our councillors for engaging as well. And basically, there seems to be just some feedback around some of those migrants that may live in our community. The theme for me is those migrants that may live in our community who are of, at risk, part of our population, and how can we actually support them better. And I'd just like to note that council can't do everything. We try, we're probably doing more than we should be. We do so because the need is there, and to paraphrase, the need is great. But it's good to get that feedback. There's also the concern that we could potentially lose some of our Tasmanian identity through multiculturalism. I personally believe that multiculturalism, as a migrant myself, is not the greatest phrase to use, because the danger could be that we could actually turn them into Tasmanians. How about that? That's a great thing, and a great thing to turn these people who bring deep culture, generations well before our white Anglo-Saxon culture. I'm Italian. I come from a rich cultural heritage. My favourite food to eat out is Chinese and Asian food. Love it. Can't get enough of it. Prefer it wherever I go. I'm so glad that they're here. I grew up with a Chinese family. As a young fella. So I just love that whole diversity that we have. So I would just ask the members of our community to continue to open their arms to those around us, to people like myself, to others who have come from a culturally and linguistically diverse background, and you are stronger with them in your blood. Science tells you that if you inbreed, you are not healthy. So culturally that works the same way. So I really am grateful for the committee's work, and do commend this report for agreement, and thank the council officers for setting aside a budget of $20,000 over 2 years to help fund the programs and the projects that we actually mention here. So thank you very much for all the effort put into it.
Thanks, Councillor Antoli. Next, I've got Councillor Fox.
Thank you, Mayor. I don't want to go into the details of the action plan, but I think there's been a really good job done by the committee. I'm going to be nitpicking because I find acronyms really difficult as a culturally and linguistically diverse person, and I think other people would too. So every time that word CALD appears in the action plan on every single page, I would like to see that written out in full. And I'm hoping that the staff will agree to that. It's the only acronym that's used, and I think it's probably the most significant part of this document that is so important, as Councillor Antoli has just said. And that's a question. It's it's kind of, I can't tell you what to do, but yeah.
Thank you. I noticed that it is mentioned, it is written out in full on page 4 of the document.
Yeah.
But you're suggesting that it shouldn't be.
Yes.
It should be in full every time.
Yeah, because it's a really important summary of what we're doing and what it's all about. And just to have one acronym in there, I think is you don't want to go looking for what it means if you're linguistically diverse.
Happy to take that on board. Yep.
Yes, we can certainly consider that. Yes.
Thank you.
Anything further, Councillor Fox?
No.
No. Other contributions? I'll just make a brief contribution before I go to you, Councillor Cordova, because I know many of you spoke when we had this before Council on the, I think it was the 17th of June, and I was not here for it. And I wanted to say firstly thank you to those councillors who, when they did speak, acknowledged that I was very passionate about this and that I was sorry that I wasn't here at that meeting to be able to take part in that debate. I appreciated your comments in relation to that because I have been very passionate about this, and I think the working group, the advisory group that we established, of which Councillors Antoli and Dean were members, worked very effectively together to develop this, to consider the survey and to really share some very personal stories along the way of their own journeys. So we are going to be launching this next week. We've invited a number of members from obviously the advisory group and members of parliament and all councillors and other people within the community. And I hope that that is going to be a little celebration of this because it is historic and that it is the first time that Kimberley Council has had a multicultural action plan. And when I did look around the other councils while we were undertaking this process, I was really surprised how few do actually have plans of this kind that recognise the diversity within their own communities. Mm-hmm. So I think we can be very proud of the fact that we're adding one, and it has been born out of looking at how diverse our community is now in a multicultural sense, and it has changed significantly since I first moved to Kingborough in 1990, from recollection, where everybody was pretty Anglo-Saxon and there was not a lot of, obvious diversity amongst our community, and that has changed, and it's changed us for the better as a community. And I think there are, as this document, as the strategy shows, it's about celebration, but there's also some work that we still have to do in relation to educating a small section of the community who unfortunately haven't quite embraced multiculturalism as I would have hoped. And I've always said that I'm very passionate about wanting to be the lucky person who's the leader of this council, but also leading a caring community. And so whilst we can't solve all the problems, I feel hopeful that by us taking a stance and showing leadership and saying we welcome everybody in our community, that it will make others think. So I really appreciate the work that has gone into this by the members of the advisory group, because it was fairly time-consuming asking them to attend meetings when they'd been to work and coming in the evenings for quite a few meetings. sharing their stories, the 257 people who took the time to engage in the survey and also share some of their own personal experiences. I really appreciate that, and so I have great pleasure in also echoing the other comments this evening and endorsing this, and certainly looking forward to the launch next week. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, ma'am. I too am looking forward to the launch next week, and I'd like to echo your thanks to the Kingwood Council Multicultural Advisory Group, also the staff involved and the community for their participation in this consultation process and the considerable work that's been done around that. Also thanks to the amazing Mrs. Sijini Sumar for her commendable work bringing these issues to council. I think that I just wanted to briefly talk about the intersection between this multicultural action plan and council's strategic imperative and council's strategic plan, where we talk about wanting a safe, healthy and connected community, a council that engages with and enables its community, an inclusive community that has a strong sense of pride and local identity, and a resilient community with capacity to flourish. I think it's always wonderful that we celebrate the wins, and so these emerging themes from this report, celebration, communication, inclusion and education and improving outcomes, there is a natural tendency to want to sit on the celebration and talk all about the celebration. It's critically important. But beyond that, I really want to have a clear focus on the inclusion and education aspect of things, and also the communication and improving outcomes aspect of things. So something that came out from the survey to me was things like access to healthcare, access to GPs, things like feeling safe in the community. And what does safety mean to different cohorts? So, you know, a stronger police presence may mean a feeling of safety to some people, and it may be the opposite for other people. And that depends a lot on things like the social determinants of health and things like community cohesion and things like, you know, the experiences that people have had with racism or with discrimination or bias or feeling unsafe in the past. So I think we just need to be open-eyed and talk truthfully about what different people's experiences are, and know that because we're not a homogenous group, and that's really exciting and wonderful and worth celebrating, it also means that we need to take the time and the care to really understand or try and understand people's different life experiences and be sensitive to those. So I really endorse the fact that Kingborough Council is treading down this path and going down this journey. It makes us a more inclusive group, but it also makes us a community that has a stronger sense of pride and local identity. It is both of those things. There's a beautiful duality there. And so thank you once again to everybody involved, and I look forward to that launch. Cheers.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. Councillor Dean.
Yeah, look, there's not much to add. So many good things have already been said. I spoke on this last time when it came before us, when we released it out to public comment. But, you know, look, I will just say again that I hope that we can become a much more welcoming municipality and become well known for our inclusivity. Also just echo the thanks to the people, Councillor Antoli, Councillor Reid, and all the other advisory group members for their participation. It was actually really nice, and Councillor Antoli kind of alluded to it unknowingly, but to be at the citizenship ceremony last week and to welcome one of the advisory group members as a citizen was especially heartwarming. But yeah, look, I really look forward to next week for the launch, and hope that this is really embraced, not just by us as a council, but by the entire community. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Bain.
Thank you, Mayor. Just quickly echo everything that's been said, and big thanks to everyone involved. I think it's just fantastic how some of the actions there are just ready to go straight away. We can launch it, we can get straight into it. And I guess just a follow-up question on that is, are we going to be, I notice there's a grant open at the moment with the state government, are we going to be applying to try and make the money go further, try and do some more and get some grant money from out of government?
Absolutely. Our community development team are very resourceful when it comes to grant writing and have a very strong success rate that we can be very proud of. So I'm certain that that will be taking place.
That's excellent timing.
Any further discussions? Councillor Antoli, did you want to sum up? No, thank you very much. I'll put the recommendation. Moved by Councillor Antoli and seconded by Councillor Midgley. All those in favour? Against? Motion is carried unanimously. Move now to page 89, policy 3.18, related party disclosure, with a recommendation on page 90. And I'm looking for a mover and a seconder, please. Move to Councillor Fox and seconder to Councillor Gladride. Councillor Fox.
Thank you, Mayor. I have pleasure in moving this motion. The policy has been reviewed and it remains consistent with changes only being editorial in nature. So, but when a member of the public asked me, what does this really mean? What's it all about? And I guess to summarise it, it is if members of councillors or staff families have provide services or support to council in any way, then that needs to be disclosed. And that's really simply what it's all about. So, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Any further discussion? If not, I will put the recommendation moved by Councillor Fox, seconded by Councillor Gladright. All those in favour? Against? Carried. I forgot one sentence there. Sorry about that. Takes us to 16.4, Financial Report for June 2024, with a recommendation on page 117. Looking for a mover and a seconder. Moved Councillor Bain, seconded Councillor Minchley. Councillor Bain.
Thank you, Mayor. So this is the financial report for the end of the financial year, 30th of June 2024. Should be noted that it's a draft June result with some year-end journals still to be processed. However, it's expected it's going to be close to the final result, subject to the inclusion of the KWS and copying results. So I guess my first question is it possible to get some indicative figures of KWS and copying results to see what the final result's going to be?
Let's just speak.
Through you, Mayor. So as has been pointed out in the report, it's sort of heavily qualified in terms of it's not complete yet. So since this report was finished, end of year work has been continuing and we've sort of done our draft financial statements, which will be going to the audit panel this Friday. But those draft statements are showing an underlying deficit of around about $2 million. The report you have in front of you tonight is showing 2.9. So it's improved since the completion of this report. Still doesn't include the results for copying because we haven't received them. But if the copying results are consistent with the March quarterly report, which is our last update, I do expect to be taking up around about $1 million or thereabouts of income, which will substantially reduce that underlying deficit from two down to around about one. Yep, thank you.
Good. Councillor Bain.
Thank you. That's good news. The other major shift I saw from the previous month's forecast to this month's is the employee costs. At $672K overdue due to the year-end accruals, with $350,000 of that being to do with infrastructure, reserves and transport. Would it be possible to get a bit more information on, I guess, what those employee costs are? Would they normally be forecast or has it just come out of the blue?
Mr. Spinks.
Through you, Mayor. So that's correct. As has been pointed out, the variance in the May report is substantially less than what we're showing here in the June report. And the primary reason is just that the end-of-year adjustments that have been done. So we had to take up a larger accrual for this year for salaries and wages unpaid. So in other words, the number of days from the last pay through to 30 June was larger this year than last year, so it gave rise to a larger accrual. We've also done the end-of-year employee leave provisions calculations and they've resulted in a little bit more than what we expected or expressed in the reverse. Probably annual leave and long service leave taken during the course of the year has probably been less than we expected, so the provisions have increased. So that's probably the major reasons giving rise to the variance. The variance also includes, although this has been sort of in the results for many months now, and CEO recruitment costs as well, so that they were unbudgeted, of course.
Councillor Bain.
Thank you. So, in summary, it's a big deficit, and as the report states, we know we've got a lot of work to do with the long-term financial plan to work towards wiping off that deficit. So, one step at a time, but, yeah, we're on the right track.
Councillor Cordova. Oh, sorry, beg your pardon. I think Councillor Antoli, you were next.
No.
Okay, Councillor Cordova and then Councillor Antoli.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. Just one question then. It's about just unpacking the transport costs and the unfavourable variances there. My question is, so deterioration in road stock, obviously we model that and we have a clear sense. I thought we had a fairly clear sense of the rate at which roads are likely to deteriorate. So just for everybody's edification, I'm looking at page 116, the halfway down the page. So I just want to get to the bottom of whether the modelling is correct, or is this a due to climate variances that this year is wetter than last year or something, that that's why the roads are deteriorating faster? Why do we have this shock, I guess?
Mr. Reid.
Through you, Mayor. All the maintenance budgets are made up of a lot of line items, and they will vary each year depending on what might happen in that particular year. In this year, some of the things that have actually sort of hit us has been increased contractor costs, increased traffic management costs, and so they will end up blowing out quite substantially in that situation. So you obviously do the best you possibly can in giving a bit of an indication of what should be spent in each area. That happens every year. And what we do try and do is balance within the program as much as we possibly can, so that's the ultimate goal, so we know there'll be overs and unders. So for this year, the main one certainly has been some increased traffic management costs. We expect that will also change again. Now they're starting to implement the new code, so we expect there'll be some further changes, but possibly not to the detriment of council. So these are the things we just want to keep a weather eye on as well at the same time.
Councillor Antoli.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to ask a question about the long-term financial plan. So I'm grateful that it was brought up in Section 8 around risk. So it's good to see that it's currently under review. Can I ask if we will be having that workshopped with us as well, and then a timeline for when that will be more widely shared and discussed with the community?
Mr. Spinks.
Through you, Mayor. So, as we know, we decided not to table the revised financial plan when we adopted the budget this year. So we're actually having a meeting tomorrow with the exec team to discuss the financial plan and where to from here. And, yes, we will be workshopping it before it comes here for council adoption.
And
we haven't quite worked out the time frame just yet, but we'll, at our first workshop we'll work that out.
Okay, so can I assume that it will be shared with the community before Christmas, not after Christmas?
Mr. Spinks.
Through you, Mayor. Look, that's probably up to council. A financial plan isn't typically something you go to consultation on, but that's not to say that we can't, but that'll be a decision for council.
Thanks.
Councillor Dean.
Thank you. Just a follow-up question from Councillor Bain. So going into this year's budget, we were originally forecasting a $2.9 million deficit, operational deficit. Can I just be clear that what you said before that we were looking at 2.9 and now we're potentially looking at a $1 million deficit?
Correct. Mr. Spinks.
Yep, just to explain through you, Mayor. So if you go back 12 months or so, we came into the year with a budgeted underlying result of a very, very small surplus. I think it was about $12,000 or something like that. During the course of the year, as has been reported in all our monthly reports, we've had some variances, and the major one of those has been our depreciation. At the date of compiling this report, the draft result for the year was a deficit of 2.9. Some things have changed since then. As I said a moment ago, the draft financial statements are going to audit panel on Friday. That's showing a deficit of about $2 million. But both of those results don't yet include the results from Copping. So since the date of this report was written, some things have changed and more information has come in.
Councillor Dean.
Thanks. I guess that's really helpful. It does just cast some thoughts back to some decisions that were made around rates this year based on somewhat different, I understand, information that's since changed, but it was a significant rate increase and it was a big decision, and it does seem a considerable difference. Appreciate that the difference, the information has since changed, but that does seem quite a big variance.
further contributions? Councillor Antoli, a question?
Yes, my question is around this concept of difference. So my understanding is we did bake into our forecasting that we would probably get $1 million from copying. The only difference that I'm hearing, though, is the 900,000 shift.
This
from 2.9 to 1.
So in the results that have been coming to council each month, that we've put forward several forecast adjustments, one of which has not been copping. So that forecast has not been revised during the course of the year, but I think we've always been expecting, based on their results for the last couple of years, that their result would substantially exceed what we've budgeted for. And as I say, their results to the end of March bear that out, and we eagerly await the final results for June.
If I may.
Yep.
So what I'm hearing is that, correct me if I'm wrong, so I'm trying to paraphrase what I've been hearing. So we're likely to go down from 2.9 to 2, and then with copping, hopefully, to 1.
That's correct.
All right. Can you explain the 900,000, the 0.9? What made that up? How did that shift so suddenly?
Mr. Spinks.
Oh, look, I don't have the exact details here. Simply suffice to say that, as I say, since this report was finalised, we've been continuing with our end-of-year processes and procedures and adjustments.
Yeah.
And it just moved from 2.9 deficit to $2 million deficit.
So there was no major factor in that 0.9 of a mil?
Look, I'll have to go and get the details from the team.
Okay, thanks.
Any further questions? Councillor Bain, did you want to sum up?
Just to thank the author of the report. It's a very detailed report, a lot of information, so I appreciate a lot of work goes into it.
Thank you. I'm going to put the recommendation then. It's moved by Councillor Bain and seconded by Councillor Midgley. All those in favour? Against? Motion is carried. Takes us to page 174, appendices, with a recommendation on the same page. I'm looking for a mover and a seconder. Mover and Councillor Gladewright and a seconder, Councillor Midgley. Are there any questions? Councillor Midgley.
I have to frame this one in a question, but anyway, I just want to say that it's so great around the council.
How about you say, can I say?
No, but that's yes. Can I make a comment about the
yes,
the donations that we have made? And the long list of donations that we have made in regards to the sporting achievements of people in Kingborough. And I just want to give a big shout out to all of them. Such a great effort. I know quite a few people on the list, and some people have just been over to Portugal recently for some gymnastics world championships, and they're on the back page of the latest Kingborough Chronicle. You can see their achievements, but isn't it just great? And again, just, you know, that decision we've made tonight about the jack jumpers, like, it really reinforces that well-being and healthy and engaging activities and how great that is for Kingborough. And it's, I think it's quite unique that as a council we do this donation as well. I'm not sure if I'm correct on
not
that.
Not everyone does it.
Yeah, not everyone does it. So it is really great that we have this, and we know the cost of living as well. Actually, I'm just paying a $1,500 bill for my son to go interstate for soccer, so it does have that cost on families. But, yeah, anyway, just an awesome thing, and congratulations to everyone involved.
Thank you, Councillor Midgley. That was a lovely question. Councillor Antoli.
Thank you. I'd like to follow up on that. And
another question?
It is a question.
Excellent.
It is a question. There are a couple of names of people that have received council donations for sporting events that I have encouraged to apply, and they were not aware through their school or through their clubs that they were entitled. Mm-hmm. It's $150, but it did make a lot of big difference. There's so many people aren't aware of this, and you did say that it's not often done. So how do we get this out there more comprehensively? And maybe this is a question for the executive team to think about, because of the names that are here, there are two. In both cases, I encouraged the parents to apply. They were both successful and both were, pardon me, not aware that they could even apply.
Yep. Look, I think that's certainly something that the team can consider, and possibly I know we do, we have promoted it. It's obviously now we have it on our website. It's a far easier application process. Because it used to be that it was having to write in, and then we'd
say, okay, we need these details and here's a form, and it was a lengthy thing. It's now an online form, so it's a lot simpler. I think letting schools know, because a lot of these things are potentially, you know, through schools, but also our sporting clubs that we have in our community, is probably something. I imagine we have a database that Mr. Smee has access to where we could communicate this, because, I've certainly come across people who don't know that they can apply for something like this. And I always make sure that I tell them that not only can they apply for ours, but they should contact every Member of Parliament in Franklin and also ask for a donation. Not anymore.
They have a different process.
Oh, no, a lot of them give personal donations. Yeah, no, personal donations, yeah. That's a very common thing, that an MP will give, you know, $50 or $100 to an individual. So I always make sure to encourage them to do that. But we'll take that on board, Councillor Antoli, because I know we have promoted it on social media, but maybe it's not getting that message quite through. Councillor Fox.
Yes, I think it's amazing looking down this list at the variety of applicants, and especially recording the School Citizen Awards that go to all the schools. But I guess I don't recall ever seeing this published before in the council agenda. And
it's published every year.
Every year.
Yeah. Because we have to, under the Act.
Well, that's fantastic. I think it's really good to make this a public document, and I think maybe an article either in the Mercury or the Chronicle to show the community who don't look at our agendas and don't look at our web pages to see that these things are available. And like Councillor Antoni, I've had lots of phone calls and requests from people asking for donations, and I've passed them on to Council. I don't know whether they've been successful or not, but I think it is worthwhile promoting the fact that it is available and that we do support our sporting people particularly, and other people too. So it's good to see, and I think we should promote it more. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. We do also publish this information in our annual report every year as well, but I think you've come up with an excellent suggestion that perhaps we might do an article for the Chronicle and say, look, you know, in the last 12 months, this is what we've been able to contribute to individuals and schools in the community through these things, and so that it might just prompt parents or older students to consider. Yep, Councillor Antoli.
Yes, just a follow-up fiduciary question. So the total donations came to 14,000, but the budget is 12. How do we work that when we go a bit over? And I'm actually glad Council went over and was more generous, but how do we work that out? Where does the extra 2 come from?
Petty cash. Mr. Spinks.
Through you, Mayor. Yeah, it... any overruns like that just come out of cash reserves.
Okay. I actually would like to commend Council for going over, so thank you for doing that. Obviously, it's within reason.
Councillor Dean.
May I point out that the mayoral donations is actually under by a convenient figure, but I do support, obviously, the fact that, you know, there's, like Councillor Antoli, I've pointed many people in this direction, and... I think it's probably one that around the table it sounds like we probably might want to increase somewhat for next year, because it seems like it's growing in demand. So that's fantastic.
And can I just say that the mayoral donations were not under because I'm tight. It's just that there was a lack of applications. and certainly when I go around the community and I meet people, I do try and promote them and say, so we did one recently where we had the screening of Uncharitable at the community hub, and so I was so keen to bring that to the community that I agreed in conjunction with BHERS and Dress for Success and Tassie Mums to use the mayoral donations to assist with the fees for the hire of the community hub. But certainly we are trying to promote that wherever we can. Any further discussion on the appendices? Any others in there? Don't want to interrogate our CEO and his diary? No. It's very lengthy. He's been very busy. Okay. I will... Councillor Antoli.
I would like to pass on a compliment to our CEO. I don't want to embarrass him, but I've spoken personally to three businessmen and two other mayors who did mention that they found our new CEO impressive and really a top bloke. So just keep up the good work, making us look good. That'll be great.
You're only as good as your leader, isn't that it? Thank you. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, and that bought me time to remind myself of a question I did have about the 28th of June meeting with the CEO of Homes Tasmania. What's happening with Homes Tasmania, and how's Kingborough leaning in to fix or ameliorate the housing crisis?
Mr. Stewart.
Thank you for the question, and through you, Mayor. So the meeting was largely a meet and greet with the CEO of Homes Tasmania to sort of introduce myself to them and them to me, so understand the work that they do around the state and their role and mandate. We did substantially discuss the development at Huntingfield as being a prime example of the work that they're doing. They walked me through the master plan for that site. We talked about the development aspirations that they have for that, what they're trying to achieve with that development. We also talked about some of the issues that have been raised by the community at that site, namely the big mounds of dirt that exist there and how they're mitigating the dust nuisance that comes alongside that to make sure that our community is being protected from any adverse consequences of that development as well.
Any further questions? I'm going to put the recommendation, moved by Councillor Gladright and seconded by Councillor Midgley. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried. Still on page 174, notices of motion. There were no notices of motion. Takes us to confirmation of items to be dealt with in closed session. In accordance with Regulation 15 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations, Council by absolute majority moves into closed session to consider the following items. Confirmation of minutes, applications for leave of absence, Spring Farm Lane closure, AB 2405, provision of cleaning for public toilets, halls and barbecues, tender assessment, AB 2409, Channel Highway Kingston footpath construction, and rates delegated authority, April to June 2024. Looking for a mover, I've got it in Councillor Fox, and a seconder in Councillor Bain. All those in favour? Against? Motion is carried. Thank you very much to the people that we had in the chambers earlier from the community, and also to those who have been watching along at home. In accordance with Kingborough Council Meetings Audio Recording Guidelines Policy, recording of the open session of the meeting will now cease. So good evening to you all, because open session of Council adjourned at 8:11 p.m.